The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Housing costs will still be affected by the concrete levy, even though it's been reduced, and they reckon to the tune of 1,200 euro per house. That's according to the Society of Chartered Surveyors, who will address the Oireachtas Committee today on the knock-on effects for the construction industry. I'm joined now by Jack Horgan-Jones, political reporter with the Irish Times, and by Conor O'Connell, Director of Housing and Planning from the Construction Industry Federation. Good morning and welcome to you both. Jack, first of all, what's happening today? It's the Finance Committee, is it not?
Yeah, so the Finance Committee at 1:30 this afternoon is having a hearing, Pat, on the defective concrete block levy, which, as you said in your introduction, was, I suppose, the one controversial item that emerged from Budget 2023 when this levy of 10 euros, which was due to be introduced from next April on concrete products, was introduced with little warning, so contended the industry, by Pascal Donoghue. Thereafter, there followed a quite considerable fallout politically on the backbenches of both the large government parties, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, which ultimately ended up with the Minister for Finance conceding, slashing the rate by half and delaying its introduction from April until next September, and also narrowing the scope of the products that it will be levied on. So a not inconsiderable adjustment. But what we will hear today at the Finance Committee, we'll hear from four groups, actually, all told. The Society of Chartered Surveyors of Ireland, the CIF, the Construction Industry Federation, representatives of the kind of MICA action group, the group of affected homeowners, and also, interestingly enough, officials from the Department of Finance, which I think was only added at the last minute. So they'll obviously be going into bat for their own levy. The most interesting contribution, I think, in the run-up to the U-turn that was after the budget came from the SCSI, the Chartered Surveyors, who came out with this figure of 3,000 to 4,000 euros per average semi-detached house, which is what they said the price impact would be arising from the concrete block levy. And what they've done is they seemingly have revised those figures. Unsurprisingly, they've revised them downwards given the alterations in the levy. But what they're going to tell the committee today is that there will still be a price uplift on a three-bed semi-detached house block built of around 1,200 euros per unit. Now, that goes up or down depending on the kind of house, how it's built, sure. An apartment, the size of the apartment block. But basically what they will be saying is that notwithstanding the changes, their criticisms remain. They still say it's going to be a headwind for housing delivery, that they're hearing anecdotally of housing projects being paused or delayed, and that while the costs are reduced, there's still going to be costs added arising from this levy.
Okay, now their prediction that the typical house will have 1,200 euro added to its bill, the construction costs. But then they say for apartments it could be 400 euro, which in the context maybe of a 250,000 euro apartment is, you know, not to be sniffed at, but it is trifling.
It's not massive, no, and it's not massive for the person who's buying the apartment. Just for precision, the 400 euro per unit refers to one of these kind of larger apartment developments. So obviously you have economies of scale.
But many apartments the big ones are built with using poured concrete rather than the concrete block in general for the main part of the construction. And poured concrete has been taken out of the equation, which helps us to explain why maybe the cost per house has gone down so significantly from 3 or 4 grand to 1,200, because the foundations are generally poured. And they would have been subject to the levy. No longer being subject to the levy should bring down the price increase significantly.
Correct and right, and then obviously the economies of scale come into it as well. So for 275 unit apartment development, it's 400 euros, but a smaller apartment development of 160 units, it's around 700 euros per unit. But one interesting thing to pick out of the SCSI submission today is less that it's about the kind of net effect to the end purchaser, to the home buyer. Mm-hmm. It's more about how it affects the very kind of complex financial mechanics that underpin the development. And what they say is that when a funder, be that, you know, your common or garden bank, or more likely one of these specialist finance houses or overseas institutional investors, when they look at it, they have their own kind of internal models, which are predicated on this complex metric called internal rate of return. And what that means is that if the financial dynamics of the scheme are changed, even if the developer themselves says, I'm willing to go ahead and I'll take a less kind of a profit margin, the funder themselves might end up pulling the plug. And you see that already, I think, around the place, particularly on these buy-to-let schemes. And that's why we're talking about the government potentially coming in and bailing out and purchasing some of these buy-to-let schemes and turning them into social housing from the private sector.
It all seems a bit arcane, sophisticated, not very transparent, this business of these mystery funders who might pull the plug. But anyway, stay on the line, Jack, because I want to parse this a little with Conor O'Connell, Director of Housing and Planning from the CIF. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
So what are you going to be saying to the committee?
We've made a submission there, and we're still calling for a thorough regulatory impact assessment to be carried out about the effect of the concrete levy. What we're really concerned about is that material costs, we all know where they've gone over the last number of months and years. We've gone through a very exceptional time in the industry. First of all, there was Brexit, then we had COVID, and now we've had the war in Ukraine. And each one of those factors has resulted in very significant cost increases. So this is another cost increase, even though it's been slashed in half. You know, we're still waiting for clarity on the extent of the products that are going to be subject to the concrete levy. Nevertheless, from the 1st of September, a 5%, another 5% levy. And if you consider in terms of, you know, the cost structures around delivering units, you know, we've development contribution scheme charges, special contribution scheme charges, VAT, water connection charges. This is another levy on the industry, another increase in the soft cost of delivery. It's a controllable cost, Pat.
Do you believe, though, that the industry should contribute in any way to the MICA disaster?
Look, we understand the dilemma the government is in relation to mistakes that have been made as a result of the supply problems of materials into the construction industry, particularly in County Donegal and one or two other counties. You know, we understand the dilemma. We understand the cost that the government now are going to have to pay out to remediate these houses. It's just the timing, Pat. It's just we've gone through an extraordinary period of time, and to heap further cost on delivery at this moment in time is unsettling. Yeah. You know, we don't know where material costs are going to go over the next 6 to 9 months, how energy costs are going to play into the production of concrete or blocks, for instance. You know, we already have a very significant scenario developing in relation to the availability of bricks in the springtime as a result of the shutting down of the kilns in continental Europe, for instance. So look, it's a very uncertain time, and we need to de-risk the industry. We need to de-risk the financial modelling around delivery, not put on more costs onto us at this particular moment.
Can you explain to me why this one, the bit that the government wants to do, which is, you know, fairly insignificant, it has to be said, in the overall, you know, cost of a 300,000 euro house or 250,000 euro apartment, 400 onto that, 1200 onto the price of the house. Why the government's bit should be the one that you're hammering. I mean, there are other costs which you've pointed out, and we'll talk to a quantity surveyor in a moment, which have had much more significant increases, which doesn't seem to have stopped the gallop so much. But this, are you characterising this as a straw that's breaking the camel's back for these mystery funders?
It's not just the mystery funders. These are international real estate investment trusts that look at the financial modelling in Ireland. They look at the financial modelling internationally at the moment. And it's fair to say that, you know, the construction sector, the house building sector in particular, is facing into, you know, a lot of unknowns. These costs are based on current cost models, Pat. We don't know what the cost of a block will be next January. You know, it's 68 cent a block now at the moment. There's speculation that could rise by a further 10%. So these costs of 1,200 euro per unit, that could increase significantly in 6 months' time. And then a 5% levy on top of that, that's compounding the cost increases. And these are controllable costs, Pat. The other cost increases are outside our control. They're due to, you know, macroeconomic factors. They're due to the war in Ukraine.
What I'm saying is, and maybe I'll talk to Ronan first and I'll come back to you, Conor. Ronan McGrath, quantity surveyor for McGrath Quantity Surveyors. Ronan, the costs are escalating. I came across a woman yesterday thinking of doing an extension, got a quote, and was told by the latest architect, listen, missus, you better double the amount of money you're going to spend on this because prices are going up so dramatically. Is that a realistic assessment of where we are?
That certainly is, Pat, a realistic assessment from over the last 12 to 18 months. It's been absolutely unprecedented. There's been things that have happened that, you know, people who are in the industry 30, 40 years have never experienced in terms of escalations. Again, a lot of those due to things like the COVID, like the shutdowns, like everything that has been unprecedented, that's never happened. And, you know, the war, A lot of that has come from that. But that will be a fair assessment.
So why has the industry not crawled to a standstill Because I'm told, say, the price of windows has gone up, the price of roof trusses has gone up, and not by 5%, by more, far more than that. And this is the one that the industry is squealing about. But the ones that have already been in play from your suppliers, the industry has been shtum, just saying they've gone up, but they haven't been kind of begging for help or the rest of it.
Well, I suppose, well, look, the whispers are there at the moment that a few of the wagons are being tied up at the moment, and certainly a lot of large contractors are telling everybody that they're building themselves out of work. They're actually running out of building sites as well, and they're running out of running out a lot of things because viability is a huge problem as it is. But what's most frustrating about this one is that this is something that's within our control. So this is not diesel going up. This is not something happening in the Middle East or the Gulf of Mexico. This is something that's within our control, and we're doing it to ourselves. So
basically what the industry is telling the ordinary taxpayer, you pay up for our mistakes. That's basically what they're saying. You, the taxpayer, pay up. We want to be protected and cosseted from making our contribution to the mica and indeed the fire risk in apartment buildings disaster that was perpetrated by the industry.
Again, I don't think someone like myself can be punished for the sins of my predecessors in that regard. I think that's an incident that I don't think is really relevant to the person, to the 10,000 homeless people or to the couples that can't get a house now at the minute because there's no supply.
Hang on a second. I know, Ronan, you're not responsible for all this, and I'll talk to Connor about this as well. There are dozens of SHDs that were given approval years ago and are still unbuilt long before these crises loomed. So don't start crying the poor mouth to me about the shortage of housing and how you guys are going to come to the rescue because, as I say, so many sites unbuilt with full planning permissions.
Again, just on that one, Pat, I don't think that's relevant to the end user at the moment. That they need
If they were built, we might have houses for people. If the developers who got permission went in, eyes wide open, persuaded the council, persuaded the board, because a lot of these went through Paul Hyde's division in On Board Plan, all of the strategic housing developments, persuaded them, we want this permission, we're going to do the divil and all, and then they didn't build them. If they had built them, it would have been cheaper to build them then than it is now, and a lot more people would have been housed.
Again, John, viability has been a huge issue for the last 5-6 years.
But you guys are supposed to know what you're at. Like, you're a QS. You're supposed to tell people, the developers and the builders, how much it's going to cost them to build them at the planning stage. You don't come back at the end of the thing and say, oh, by the way, this is far too expensive to build. You shouldn't have bothered to get planning permission at all. It's non-viable. That's what a QS does. It tells the builder, is your scheme viable or is it not? And if it's not, then don't go looking for planning.
Again, the viability issue has been brought up 5-6 years ago, Pat, in terms of, particularly apartment blocks, that these aren't viable. So, I mean, there's nothing that's within the control of QSs or within the building that can bring these costs down.
Again, the paper exercise before you undertake anything like this? The QS is called in to give an assessment to the builder or developer how much this is going to cost. So you have the plans before you put them into On Board Plan Ola in the SHD division. That was, happily, that process has been stopped by the minister because of the lack of democratic accountability. But anyway, that's what you do. You do your sums. And if it's not viable, why bother going to the expense of a full planning?
Well, again, Pat, a lot of things change in the 2 or 3 years that it takes to get planning and go through On Board Plan Ola. I'm on projects that it's over 5 years from first exercise to actually getting planning, and still some of those things don't have planning. So a lot of things change in the meantime, and a lot of things change as well with the market as well and the exit strategy and who these houses are actually going to be sold to, who's going to buy them, where they're going. There's a lot more in that than just that, and again, obviously the rising costs and everything else as well. But again, viability has been an issue for the last 5 to 6 years.
Connor, going back to you on all of those points, that the number of SHDs unbuilt, planning permissions got, sought, achieved, on the basis, one presumes, of accurate costings, and then not built, lying fallow?
Unfortunately, Pat, in Ireland, it takes years to get through the planning system from inception, right through to compliance with conditions, right through to water connections. Unfortunately, over the last number of years, we've had Brexit, we've had the, you know, the COVID restrictions, the COVID shutdown, then we had the extraordinary increase in material costs. That has significantly affected the viability, in particular, of apartment construction. So we've had many, many changes over those years. If you take it, by the time you do a project assessment on a piece of land, you know, you then have to assess the cost of the water connection, the electricity connection. By the time you get through the planning connection, the planning system, if you're lucky enough, you know, to get through it in, what, two, three years, Pat?
Yeah.
The viability and the maths around that project have utterly changed. Utterly changed. And unfortunately, with the material cost increases over the last number of years, that's brought about an exceptional scenario in relation to project assessment.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, though, jumping up and down about the government's fairly meagre demands of the industry, whereas all the other costs I talked about, and JJ has confirmed it, that doubling the price of an extension, for example, would not be an unrealistic way to view this. The government's, and it really is a token gesture, it's even cosmetic to make it seem like the industry is paying something for its past sins, but it is trifling.
Pat, we understand, you look, we understand the government's dilemma in relation to, you know, the rectification issues associated with MICA. We understand the costs and those issues around the defective material that was supplied into the construction industry. But at the same time, in relation to housing, you just look alone at the VAT that's been collected for housing and the increase in the VAT alone this year as a result of the increase in the output of the industry. Surely there should have been some kind of, you know, cognizance taken of the exceptional circumstances the industry are in. And in relation to controllable costs, we have to control them. The other costs are outside our control, but this is a controllable cost. And as I say, we don't know what the compounded effect of this will be.
Some people have suggested that we put a tax, an extra tax on builders' profits. Now, I know that's kind of a hard one because people can siphon off money into pension funds and they can do all sorts of things before they declare a profit. But that might seem to be a fairer way. So you keep your costs down. But then at the end of the year, you look at the profit from a particular building enterprise, normally done under a limited liability for each development, and you whack an extra bit of tax on that. That might seem a fairer way. Keep the price down for the punter, and the industry principals are seen to pay fairly directly.
Well, what we need, Pat, to assess all of this is we need a proper and thorough regulatory impact assessment, an economic assessment of how we're going to pay for this and how, if the government policy is that the industry are going to have to pay for it, how we can contribute to that cost, you know. And that assessment needs to be taken out.
Isn't that what the Finance Committee will be actually doing today?
Well, that's an element of it, but a thorough regulatory impact assessment will call for submissions from various different bodies and organisations. You then get those submissions, you look at the unintended consequences, the intended consequences, and then you come to a decision about what way is the best path forward so that we don't have extra costs heaped upon the consumer, the first-time buyer, and those that are attempting to get on the property ladder at the moment.
Okay. The only postscript, and there is a case for dropping VAT and so on because, you know, as costs rise, the VAT remains the same. So as a percentage, it delivers more to the state's coffers. So very much like the price of fuel at the pump, where the government tinkered around with excise to give the punter a break. You're saying that you could tinker around with VAT and give the builder and ultimately the customer a break.
Exactly. Pat, we're in an extraordinary situation at the moment in terms of, you know, house building supply, the assessment of projects at the moment. It really is exceptional. And as the quantity surveyor there has said, you know, it's been people working in the industry 30 to 40 years have never seen the likes of it. So we do need to come across with some, you know, creative solutions, emergency type solutions to ensure that we can keep the house building going.
Okay.
And just, Pat, look, it's not all negative. I mean, we have the First Home Scheme, we have the Help to Buy Scheme, you know, we have Projects Tushik from the LDA, you know, there's a number of different initiatives out there, consumer-focused initiatives, but we really are coming to
look, I've been doing this a long time, and I know that every time the government comes up with a scheme, the developers eat up the money that's there. The price doesn't go down. whether it was Section 27, Section 23, you can name all the schemes over the years, and all it did was push up prices. Because you guys took the money.
Well, Pat, if you look at the May report from the Oireachtas Budgetary Committee, you looked at the report from Mazars to the Department of Finance in relation to, you know, the Help to Buy scheme, there's little evidence, if no evidence, in relation to, you know, an increase in new home prices, not second-hand home prices, new home prices as a result of the Help to Buy scheme.
We will leave it there. I'll go back to Jack Horgan-Jones, finally, if he's still on the line. Jack, the question of whether or not this Finance Committee has the knowledge to ask the right questions of all the parties in this.
Well, it never stops politicians, usually, does it? I mean, they're generalists, a bit like journalists, and they, you know, fairness, and they'll read into the topic. I think it's interesting to see the backlash on this, because I don't think there's any political appetite to go back to the well on it. It is interesting that the chair of the committee is a Fianna Fáil backbench rebel, John McGuinness, the Carole Kilkenny TD, and he was part of the posse that was rounded up to oppose this. But I don't see Pascal Donoghue giving in on this. So I think that there may be a little bit of wheels within wheels here, and the industry being concerned that this could be the thin end of the wedge, because obviously there's an awful lot of money to be paid over for MICA, for defective apartments with fire defects that you talked about as well, Pat. You know, so I think the fear may be, and the reason why we're seeing it resisted so strongly, even in its watered down form, is that the government may come back to the well again in subsequent budgets, because really, as you said, it's a trifling amount. It's like, what, 50 million a year? We're looking at costs upwards of 6 billion to cover the two of those schemes, and who knows where it could end up ultimately.
All right, Jack Horgan-Jones, political reporter with the Irish Times, Conor O'Connell, Director of Housing and Planning from the Construction Industry Federation, and Ronan McGrath, a quantity surveyor from McGrath Quantity Surveyors. Thank you all very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.